Howard, quick thoughts on that deal. Do you think he can help out the Jets?
I think it's, you know, it might be marginal. I mean, that's why it's a sixth-round pick. That's why it's not even next year's draft. It's in 2021. I wouldn't be surprised if there's some conditional aspects to it. I mean, Demaryius Thomas isn't what he used to be. So, you know, he might be able to help here and there. But I certainly don't think that he is he can be a difference maker for the Jets. But he does give them a little bit of depth at the position, and perhaps can help. But I certainly don't see this as any kind of earth-shaking deal.
Yeah. Week one, what was the biggest surprise for you as far as a team, or, you know, underachieving?
Oh, it had to be the Cleveland Browns. I mean, I'm not surprised that much that they lost, because the one caveat that I talked about quite frequently throughout this offseason, with all the expectations that there were for that team, and a lot of those expectations were warranted, because they'd made moves and they have a pretty darn good roster. But the one big question I had was that, I mean, here's a team that last year did what it did at the second half of the season when there weren't any expectations. They weren't, you know, no one was looking for them to do much of anything, and they did it with Greg Williams as their interim head coach and defensive coordinator, and Freddie Kitchens as the offensive coordinator. Well, Greg Williams is gone, new defensive coordinator. Kitchens is now the head coach. And so those are adjustments that team had to make. And the biggest one maybe is that all of a sudden there are expectations. I mean, when was the last time that anyone expected the Browns to do anything going into the season? This year that was the case. And a lot of times you start reading your clippings, you start believing that you're going to be that good. Home fans are really hyping it, and here they are at home with that, you know, certain amount of pressure because of those expectations, and they just laid an egg. Now, there's no question about it. So, again, Tennessee's a pretty solid football team, so I'm not that surprised they lost, but to lose by 30 points is somewhat embarrassing.
Not many people have high expectations of the Bengals this year. They went into Seattle, a really tough place to play, and almost pulled it off. Had to throw for over 400 yards. Andy Dalton, the Red Rocket, looked pretty good. But Joe Mixon, it looks like he's injured. Does Giovanni Bernard have much left? Can he be a difference maker for them?
No, I don't think. He's never been a difference maker. He's a good, solid back, a good supplement to whoever your number one is, good pass catcher. But he's not an every down back. So that doesn't mean he can't give them some, you know, some production. But when you don't have a Joe Mixon back there, just like any other team, when they have that, you know, that main back, that the defense has to account for their presence, then that opens up other things for your offense. So I think that, you know, if Mixon's out for an extended period of time, that's going to hurt the Bengals. But you're right, that's a team that didn't have virtually any expectations coming in. And so there's the reverse of what I was talking about, is sometimes when nobody respects you, nobody thinks you're going to do anything, that's when you step up and surprise some people. Now, granted, again, we always have to remember, and I say this all the time, this is one game. And you can't reach evaluations after one game, because good games, bad games happen to bad teams, or the reverse. You know, good teams have bad games during the course of a season. When it happens in the first game of the year, there's a lot of overreaction. I mean, even last night with the Raiders. I mean, who was expecting much of anything from the Raiders? With all the distractions, all the stuff that they experienced, and even being home, I don't know that anybody thought that they would come out and pretty much, even though it was an 8-point game, they pretty much controlled that game from start to finish. But I think that's a team that kind of came together and said, hey, we want to show that we are a good football team, and what the heck. The whole summer we didn't really have Antonio Brown practicing much, and so they went ahead and did it without him. So I think, you know, that can often happen with teams, but like I said, you do need several weeks before you can really start reaching any kind of conclusions about what these teams are going to be for the long haul.
Howard Balzer joins us at balzerfootball.com. The New England Patriots are still the New England Patriots. Now they add Antonio Brown. You know, if there's one team, and I'm not sure Antonio Brown is as much of a distraction as some think. Clearly, I think he wanted out of Oakland, and they orchestrated this fine. He ends up with the team he wanted to get traded to originally, and that's the Patriots. But what about the Steelers' defense? How much did you put on that, on good play calling by the Patriots, or how just discombobulated did the Steelers' defense look?
Yeah, it was a combination of both. And the one thing we know that the Patriots do very well is that whatever talent they have on offense or defense, they usually come up with a pretty good plan to make the most of it. And so with all the talk all year, oh, they don't have Gronkowski. They don't have Gronkowski. Well, they knew they didn't, and so they formulated an offense that did other things. And all of a sudden, they're making Philip Dorsett and looking like a Pro Bowler. And Josh Gordon, of course, is there, and he makes some plays. And the offensive line, you know, seemed not to miss a beat, which is always the big key with the Patriots. No, you know, no one ever talks about Dante Scarnecchia, the offensive line coach, but that's a guy who's been there for, oh my goodness, more than three decades through about five coaching changes. And the guy's a wizard at putting together offensive lines. And they lost their starting center just a few weeks ago, and they plugged Ted Karras in. And, yeah, he had a little problem with some of the snaps, but they don't really miss a beat. So, but the Steelers do have questions on defense. There's no doubt about it. But a lot of times guys are getting open and all that if you're not getting the pass rush. And that's a tribute to Brady getting rid of the ball and the offensive line protecting him. And so it'll be interesting to see with the Steelers going forward. And, you know, that the thing that you wonder with them is their offense. And you made an interesting point about Antonio Brown, is that even with all the, you know, all the things he did in Pittsburgh, and I don't think we know the half of it, that was still a team that won games when he was there, and a big part of it was his production. And so I think the jury is out on whether Juju Smith-Schuster can be as productive as he has been over the last couple seasons when Antonio Brown was there. And so he has to prove that he can do that. And so it'll be interesting to see how they bounce back from this. I think in one respect, the Steelers are glad they got the Patriots game. They got their game against the Patriots out of the way early. And so now they can just move on to the other 15 games. And we'll see how, you know, how and if they can get themselves together for the rest of this season.
Are you a believer in the Baltimore Ravens young quarterback Lamar Jackson, or is it a big, it was against the Dolphins?
Well, yeah, I think that's the thing. And certainly, and of course, everyone's saying, see, all those who question Lamar Jackson, how do they look now? What, you know, well, again, it's one game.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure no one expects him to have a 158.3 passer rating every week. And he's going to have to show that he can be a consistent passer, you know, week in and week out against some of the better defenses in the NFL. And if he can do that, then this can be a heck of a football team. And so, but it is the Dolphins. That team right now is just an absolute and total mess. Even having said that, I didn't expect much from them, but I certainly didn't expect them to lose by 7 touchdowns either. I mean, that's just crazy. And so, you know, we'll see what happens from here. I think they play the Patriots next week,
yeah.
And that it's hard to say that one could be uglier. But, you know, and the interesting thing is the Patriots have had issues against the Dolphins in the past on the road, and I don't know if that'll be the case this time out with the way that team, you know, looks right now. But like I said, they've just got tremendous questions and players that are questioning whether they want to be there. They essentially don't have any internal leadership right now, and that showed itself brightly in that game against the Ravens.
We are joined by Howard Balzer from BalzerFootball.com. Howard, you look at the stats historically, and you know it's a short season; it's only two games. But you start 0-2, and your chances of making the playoffs become significantly lower. So you look at this weekend. I know it's only week two, but you know historically that's not a great look for a lot of teams. Are there some teams you feel are teams that really need victories this weekend, or do you think if they go 0-2, they could bounce back?
Well, yeah, if you're a good team, you can bounce back, and the percentages, you know, do say that it's certainly a lot harder to make the playoffs if you start 0-2, but there's been enough examples of it happening. And so but if you're a team that has high expectations, then perhaps some doubts, you know, start creeping in. And so I think a team, you know, like Atlanta, that a lot of people thought would bounce back from a disappointing year last season, and they didn't play well in the first game, and of course it was on the road. And that, you know, that's part of it too. When you go on the road in some of those games to start the year, that can get you behind the eight ball. But they just did not look that good against Minnesota. So I think certainly this could be a key one for them. And I'll mention the Browns. I mean, when you have all these expectations, then like I said, if all of a sudden you lose a second game in a row, doubts can start creeping in. So that'll be interesting to see if they're able to bounce back in week two.
Howard, good stuff, man. I appreciate it. We'll talk to you again soon. Thanks for your time.
All right, Jason. Always enjoy it. Take care.